Welcome back to Tales of Southwest Michigan's Past. This is Michael Delaware. I am your host. And one of the stories that I enjoy returning to now and then are stories of the railroad in Michigan, because the railroad essentially during the Victorian era brought a lot of the East Coast to Michigan in many ways, and it brought passenger travel to new heights during the 1870s, where there was about 9,000 miles of track in Michigan during that time. Today, in present day, there's only about 3,000 miles of track. So railroad history has always been a fascinating topic that I love to return to now and then. And there is a great book that I'm going to be referring to today that I'll tell you about here in a moment. But today's topic is going to be about the Michigan Central Railroad Depot in Charlotte, Michigan. So come along and join me. So there's a book that was put together by the Eaton County Historical Commission, a great group of people. And the book is called Right on Track, A History of the Railroads in Eaton County, Michigan. And I have referred to this book a few times over the past few years since I have obtained a copy myself. And there's a lot of great stories in here written by the members of that commission. And one of the stories they have in here is about the Michigan Central Depot in Charlotte, Michigan. So I wanted to go into some of the history of that today, because this is probably symbolic of a lot of the railroad depots around Michigan, some that are perhaps still in operation, but many of them have been either demolished or turned into other uses around the state. Some are privately owned, and some are museums. For example, there is an old railroad depot in Sturgis, Michigan, that is now a museum. There's a old railroad depot in Battle Creek, Michigan, which is now Clara's on the River Restaurant. And these are just a few examples. There was an old railroad depot in Lake Odessa, Michigan, which I covered part of the story on, and it was moved from its prior location and is now a museum in Lake Odessa. And these are just a few examples of old railroad depots and where they ended up. Sadly, there's been a few that have been demolished over the years. And whenever I drive by an old railroad depot and I see it being used, it kind of brings a smile to my face that at least somebody is preserving the legacy of those types of buildings. And I think they're just so interesting in the way they were styled. And I guess they, because of the type of use they originally were, they've been adapted to a lot of open type spaces of businesses. So I have seen railroad depots converted into office buildings. I've seen them turn into restaurants and, of course, museums and things like that. So it's always a fascination of mine. But the story about the Michigan Central Depot in Charlotte, it was first conceived by the Grand River Valley Railroad, and it was constructed in 1868 in Charlotte. Charlotte was first incorporated as a village in 1863, so this was 5 years after it became a village, and this brought the Grand River Valley Railroad line to the village. The line was originally conceived in 1846. It was a line charter, and men from Charlotte and Eaton Rapids helped finish the tracks between the two cities to allow the train to come through to the old depot. So the depot was built apparently before the tracks, which is not probably uncommon. As built, this segment was capable of a 60-mile-per-hour passenger service and a 40-mile-per-hour freight operations. The GRV, Grand River Valley, became a subsidiary of the Michigan Central Railroad, itself under the control of the New York Central. And the Michigan Central formally merged with the GRV in 1916. The line survived through the Penn Central merger and finally abandoned by the Conrail in 1976. At that time, the rails had deteriorated to the point of having a 10-mile-per-hour limit imposed on those tracks. So they were sadly quite worn, and Conrail crews had difficulty even maintaining the speed due to the conditions of the tracks. They were that badly damaged and deteriorated by that time. A very early all-wooden station served the community, but by the early 20th century, the Michigan Central decided to replace the aging GRVRR depot. Although the reason for the replacement is not really known, it's likely that the older depot was too small to handle the required volume of passengers and freight that was passing through the station. Nearby stand two former railroad hotels from the last third of the 19th century, the Cottage House, which has been converted to apartments in present day, and the Grand River Valley House, which was incorporated into the Colburn Fulton Lumber Yard. Michigan Central tasked the Detroit architectural firm of Spears and Robbins, who designed nearly all the company's depots between 1884 and 1913, and many other public buildings. And they tasked them to design a new depot in Charlotte in 1901. N.J. Rogers of Detroit was the contractor for the construction, and the new depot, considered late Victorian in style, opened to passengers in July 1902. For a time, the 1868 depot was retained to handle freight only, allowing the new depot to cater exclusively to passengers. The depot served passengers until it closed in about 1948, although there's also some information that it closed in 1918 and all Michigan Central passengers were transferred to the Grand Trunk Depot. The depot was boarded up perhaps temporarily during that time. Now, once the New York Central and Pennsylvania Railroads merged, there were other ways to get from Jackson to Grand Rapids, and the tracks were removed in stages and almost all gone by the mid-1980s. Tracks behind the depot remain in place, connected to the nearby Grand Trunk tracks and running a few miles east. The track is used by the Charlotte Southern Railroad dinner train in present day. In 1965, the Miller Dairy family of Eaton Rapids purchased the building and refurbished it into a restaurant and ice cream parlor. The building continued to be used as a restaurant under several different owners since that conversion. In present day, it is privately owned, and the depot, located at 430 North Cochrane Avenue, was listed on the National Register of Historic Places as Michigan Central Railroad Charlotte Depot in March of 2000. It was also listed on the Michigan Register of Historic Places in August of 1999. It's been refurbished as a restaurant and now houses the Tequila's Mexican Grill. The building remains mostly intact, including the original ticket booth and much of the interior trim. Its original tile roof has been replaced along with some windows and exterior trim. The interior of the building originally contained a main waiting area, a ladies' waiting area, and a baggage room. And when refurbished into a restaurant, the floor plan was maintained with the main waiting area and ladies' waiting area serving as the dining room, while the baggage area and portions of the main waiting area serving as the kitchen. Now, when the depot was included on the National Register of Historic Places on March 15, 2000, they did their own write-up on the history of the depot, and they included that in the registry, and they describe it as a hipped roof, single-story, stone-trimmed, dark red and buff brick building, with its lower up to windowsill level section being of a rock face coursed ashlar limestone. A dressed limestone water table separates the base from the upper dark red brick facade. The building is capped by a complex hip roof clad in red asphalt shingle. The windows and door openings are framed in contrasting buff brick, with buff brick outlined as an egg and dart molding border in buff terracotta. The paired aluminum frame glass entry doors now fill the front of a broad entry recess framed by Tuscan limestone columns, resting on dressed limestone lower walls that are extensions of the rock face stone bases to either side. The columns and buff brick piers on either side support a stoned trim brick classical lintel, now covered by a side panel. And it goes into a lot of other great details about the building, but I would recommend that you just look at the picture and admire the beauty of this building, because there is a tremendous amount of architectural detail and thought that went into the design of it. So let's talk a little bit more about the time it was the Miller Ice Cream Restaurant. In 1965, the old Michigan Central Depot in Charlotte got a new lease on life in a new line of business. The depot, located not far from downtown Charlotte, had long since been idle, and the railroad had long since gone from using it. And it made a sweet comeback in the 1960s, to put it mildly, as an ice cream parlor for a well-known and very popular Miller Dairy Farms in Eaton Rapids. The new use of the old building served to remind everyone of the days when the depot was the hub of both social and business life in Charlotte. 8 trains stopped daily, and meeting someone there was a popular pastime. Miller started making ice cream in 1886, and by 1965, they promoted Eaton Rapids as the ice cream capital of the world. They opened 11 Miller Dairy Farm stores and had 150 dealers in Michigan. They decided that the old Michigan Central Depot in Charlotte would make a fine addition to their eateries. The historic charm of the building brought about feelings of nostalgia for days gone by, which was very appealing to them. George Miller, owner of the Miller Dairy Farm, noticed the old depot one day when he was driving past it and immediately envisioned how wonderful it would be to open up an ice cream parlor in that building. He obtained a non-cancelable lease from the Michigan Central and began to work on renovating the building. When the building was originally open as the depot in 1902, it was considered a modern, up-to-date building, with not a single modern convenience left wanting. To recreate the feel of the turn-of-the-century atmosphere that they aspired to in the depot, menus were printed using a 1896 photograph for the cover. They installed white trim and red flocked wallpaper, purchased bent wire ice cream parlor chairs at round marble-topped tables to remind everyone of earlier days. The walls were adorned with photos of people and cars from the turn of the century. Renovations were made to accommodate the parlor, but some things stayed the same. A fireplace next to the baggage room was saved, as well as the ticket cage from the old depot. The colonnade, which divided the ladies' parlor from the main waiting room, was kept. The interior of the ticket cage was converted to a dishwashing and kitchen area. To continue with their nostalgic look at the past, they decorated the depot with antiques and emporia from earlier days, including an old crank wall phone, a coffee grinder, circus and show posters, some of the original waiting room benches, vintage calendars, and a train schedule which noted train from Vermontville 1 hour late, cow on track. So apparently there had been a cow on the track on the train from Vermontville. Gotta remember that history, folks. Despite the nostalgic look, Miller's featured a space-age menu and ice cream concoctions when it opened in the 1960s, such as Martian Man Float and Spacenik Sundae. There was also a special menu with Watashi Sundae and Double Fission Cryogenic Float and a Frog Float. These menu themes reflected the current trends of the United States. It was noted that there was so many traveling men back in the day that the Charlotte City Council decided against paving the business district and instead paved the 3 blocks from the depot to the old Phoenix Hotel. At that time, there were 2 railroad stations in town with 3 passenger trains a day, but only 1 station served those passengers' traveling needs. The other served their need for cool, sweet ice cream. So that was their interesting write-up about that. Some of these Charlotte hotels that supported the depot back in the day are still on the historical registry and being maintained. There's the Cottage House Hotel and the Valley House Hotel. The circa 1860s Grand River Valley House Hotel, also known as the Valley House, near the railroad tracks in the 300 block of North Oliver Street, now within the Colburn Fulter Lumber Company complex at 316 North Washington, and the circa 1870s Cottage House, built at 301 North Oliver Street, are uncommon survivors of frame and railroad hotels or boarding houses built near the tracks to serve passengers and workers. 301 North Oliver Cottage House Hotel, this two-story T-plan farmhouse former hotel, now apartments, has a broad-fronted side gable front section facing Oliver and a deep central rear L forming the shaft of the T. It rests on a rumble stone foundation, partly faced in concrete, and is clad in vinyl siding. And this building is on the National Historic Register of Places. And this book called Right on Track, A History of the Railroads in Eaton County, Michigan, by the Eaton County Historical Commission, has a lot of information and details about the local hotels that supported the Michigan Central Depot. And I just thought I would tell you a little bit of the story today. It is a Sunday afternoon. I didn't have a guest scheduled for today, so I wanted to share with you a little bit of some Michigan railroad history, and that is a fascinating reference to refer to. And I was reminded to do a story in the Charlotte area again because I was just up in Charlotte this past week. I did a book event up there where I told a story from my collection of tales that are in my new book, Victorian Southwest Michigan True Crime, and it was a well-attended event and a lot of very supportive people of my work there, and that was put on by the Eaton County Historical Commission and also the Friends of Charlotte Library, and it was held at the Charlotte Community Library, and it was just a fun event. I got to meet a lot of really cool people, and people were standing in line afterwards buying books. They were wanting to buy books before the event started. It was just a very wonderful feeling as a writer to have that kind of support. And I've been experiencing that a lot with my book tour. As I go out and I speak with a lot of people, if you follow me on social media, you're probably seeing me announcing a lot of different talks around Southwest Michigan. I have spoken in Marshall, Albion, Charlotte. I'll be speaking next month in Eaton County. I have an event on Monday after this podcast airs. So if you are living in the Hastings area, I'll be in Hastings on Monday evening. So there's an event there if that's near where you're at. I've had events in Battle Creek. I just finished one a few days ago in Athens, Michigan. I've got events coming up in Union City, Eaton Rapids, Galesburg, Climax, St. Joseph, Michigan. And I just scheduled another one for Battle Creek on June 9th. Now, those are speaking engagements. I will be attending a lot of festivals this summer as well. I'll be attending the Island City Festival in Plainwell with a booth there. I'm also going over to Hell, Michigan on June 15th for a fun afternoon in Hell, Michigan. They're having an event, and I was able to get a booth there. So I'm going to have a table set up selling some of my books, and we'll see how that goes. I'll also be at a couple of car shows. I plan to have a table and a booth set up at the Father's Day car show in Hastings and also the Del Shannon Weekend Classic car show. I'll probably have a table set up there as part of the booth with the museum, and I'll be selling and signing books there. There's a few other shows that are on my calendar. One of the ones I'm really looking forward to is coming up in August. There's two of them in August I'm really looking forward to. The annual Jackson Civil War Muster Arts and Crafts Show that is happening on the weekend of August 24th and 25th. I have reserved a booth there, and I will be there all weekend. And then the following weekend is Festival of Oddities over in Charlotte, Michigan. So I'm excited to be a part of that show this year for the first time. So that's going to be a lot of fun activities this summer, and I hope to come across a lot of you folks out there if you're going to be going to any of those festivals. Stop by my booth and get yourself a signed copy of my book. Maybe bring your friends along with you. And I have organized two more author symposiums, actually three. The third one is being organized by another organization, but I'm involved in organizing two of them. And the first one is going to happen in Battle Creek, Michigan at the Battle Creek Regional History Museum on September 28th. And they haven't started promoting that one yet. We will be very soon. So there's probably going to be some tickets for that available. I'm discussing with them about whether we're going to make it a ticketed event. Probably will be, because the museum needs to always raise money to cover their cost of the operating facility. So it'll probably be a low ticket price on that. It's going to be called the Michigan History Author Symposium. There's going to be another symposium in Charlotte, Michigan, at the Courthouse Square Museum on October 19th. And that is in the works. That's going to be called the Southwest Michigan True Crime Symposium. And then also on October 9th, up in Grand Ledge, this is on a Wednesday evening, I presented the idea of the symposium to the organizer of events there at the Grand Ledge Area District Library. And she loved the idea. She's done similar type events before. So she's putting together an author showcase that is called Writing the Dark: Stories of True Crime, Murder, and Mystery. And I'm happy to be taking part in that program, along with my good friend Tobin Book and two other authors that I have not yet met. That'll be participating in that event. So that should be fun. That's a Wednesday evening in Grand Ledge. So I've got two different symposiums happening in October and one at the end of September. So I'll be speaking and meeting a lot of authors during that time and meeting a lot of fans, I hope, as well. So that being said, there's a lot of exciting stuff happening this year, and I can't be more pleased. It has been a wonderful experience so far, and I do appreciate all the fans that have come out to see me. I have met people that have driven long distances just to come see one of my events. One lady came all the way from Fort Wayne, Indiana, when I was over in Marshall at my recent event there, and I was completely honored that she took the time to come see me there. And just a wonderful experience when you have people that go out of their way to come see your presentation. That's just a really humbling experience. So be sure to check out my website, michaeldelaware.com, for my full list of calendar dates. And also, I do a lot of volunteer work for the Battle Creek Regional History Museum, as you know, and the biggest fundraiser that they have of the year is coming up in June. So you'll probably hear me mention it quite a bit on this podcast, and I really encourage you to go check it out and participate. And it is the Del Shannon Weekend. The big event is the concert on Friday night, June 28th. This year, I managed to get us into the Kellogg Arena, and we have this great partnership with a lot of sponsors to pull this event off, and we're really hoping to really pack the house and make it a big annual fundraiser for the museum this year, and just to help them get a good kickoff to their phase two renovations. They just finished the phase one occupancy final of their phase one part of their museum, which included the History Education Center that I worked on over the past 2 years and their lobby. I'm still working on details for the lobby, but at least the final city occupancy portion of that permitting process is done, and now they can start planning phase two while I work on some of the other details of the lobby for them, which is all part of the fundraising and my involvement with the museum. And part of the big fundraising event is this Del Shannon Weekend, and it includes the concert Friday night, which is happening at the Kellogg Arena this year, and I'll put the link in the show note description of this episode if you want to check that out and get tickets. We lowered the price this year to $20. They were $25 in 2023, and we found a way to get it lower by working with the arena helping us out. And then the Del Shannon Classic Car Show is at the Lila Arboretum. If you happen to own a classic car, you can enter this show for just $15. And it is going to be hopefully a lot more cars this year than last year. Every year we're expecting to get more and more. I think if you promote the show properly, that's certainly possible. And then on the final day of the weekend, on Sunday, is a special event called the Music Legacy Event, which I'll be involved in presenting the history of the music legends of Battle Creek. And I'm working with some other great folks on this. The son of Junior Walker is helping me with this program, as well as Bobby Holly. And so that's going to be a fun program to come out to. And of course, I'm working with the Del Shannon family on that as well. So that being said, that is going to conclude today's episode. If you enjoyed any part of this, please be sure to leave a rating or review on whatever app that you are listening on. And until next time, when we take another journey into yesterday and we explore even more fascinating tales of Southwest Michigan's past. Thank you for listening.